Now, I asked that for a reason. I want to just kind of update you about a few things with the ministry. Some of the things I need to say when churches are involved with what we do. I really don't want that publicized on the internet because people are watching us. Amen? Go ahead and say amen. One of the things, you know, of course, if you've been keeping up with the prayer letters and everything that's going on, we're involved with the military chaplains. And so I just want to ask you to pray. There's two or three things, several things going on that affects the military. And this week is going to be, and over the next few days after that, it's going to be a very busy time as we try to line up where we're going to have to be to help defend these guys. If you understand what we do as the endorser for a military chaplain, we're the guy that's supposed to be able to protect his rights, to practice his faith. They rewrote the DOD regulations, the latest publication came out in May of 2021, and it reiterated again and further solidified in those regulations the responsibility of the endorser to make sure that that military chaplain that we put in the military or sponsor into the military is able to freely practice his faith. Now, that's what it says, okay? Amen? Now, the practicality of that is becoming now the real challenge. And so I know you've all been involved in our lives for years. I mean, we've been in mission work 27 years. I think you all have been involved in most of that in the last 27 years. And so pray. The first, we're going to have two huge conversations starting tomorrow. The first one's over the vaccine. And you have your opinion, I got my opinion about it, okay? I'm not going to get into that. But as near as we can tell, the President of the United States is going to push through the FDA to approve this vaccine as early as the first of the month. And then, which is against all normal practices of the FDA and all that. But once it's approved, he can't do this until it's approved, but once it's approved by the FDA, then he can make mandatory vaccination requirements in the military. He can't do that until then. Now you have a mandatory vaccination requirement. Over everything normally in the military, if you have an objection to something, you can file a religious exemption, which means you have a religious conviction against that. And so if you file that religious exemption, they will exempt you. And they're doing it now. I mean, they're letting the Muslims grow beards and all that kind of stuff. And so they'll give you a religious exemption. I haven't heard from the Army and the Navy yet, but the Air Force has very specifically said there will be no religious exemptions for the vaccination. We don't care what you believe. We don't care what you do. There will be no religious exemption. You can file it. You can make your plea, but they will deny every one of them. If they deny the religious exemption for a military soldier, he has two choices. One, he takes the vaccination. Or two, he's honorably discharged with a note in his packet that says he was discharged because he refused to comply to medical requirements. But he will be honorably discharged, okay? So now you're in a very huge dilemma for our military soldiers. Now, here's the thing that complicates it for us and our chaplains. On top of them have to make a personal choice. Secondly, they have to file all the religious exemptions. So now there's this huge paperwork logjam that's already started with our military chaplains. Now, and the reason I said I want to say one thing, to me, the hypocrisy of what they're saying is this, okay? So you're in the military, and you say, I don't want vaccination, I file a religious exemption, they're going to tell you that you have to take it because if you get COVID, then you're undeployable, and it affects the military readiness of our country. Okay, y'all got that? Amen? Now, here's the hypocrisy of it. If you're in the military right now, and I'll say it very carefully, I don't want to say the wrong things, and you are transgender and you want to make the change in your life, the military today will pay for it all. And you're undeployable for 18 months. So now you've affected the military readiness of your unit. Yet, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to be discharged. If it goes the way they say it's going to go. So, it's going to be a huge thing. So now on top of that, now I'm just giving you so y'all know what I face. And on top of that, the Army started 3 months ago what they call the new extremist training. And the extremist training is teaching you how to deal with people that are in the extreme fringe of our world, okay? And if you do not agree with the LGBTQ plus agenda, you are an extremist in the military eyes. You're listed with the Muslim terrorists and everybody else as an extremist. So y'all understand where I'm headed this week, amen, why I'm pulling my hair out, amen? And so pray for us. We have some of the best men you'd ever want to work with. Chaplain Joel Britton, an Army major, just left Fort Leonardwood, Missouri after a year and a half there, had 336 Army soldiers saved. I mean, these guys are getting the job done, okay? They are. We have an Air Force chaplain that's right now in San Antonio, California, or San Antonio, Texas. He's been chosen to an elite program for the Air Force. It's called the True North Chaplaincy Program. And they are restructuring the chaplaincy program of the Air Force. And he's one of the chosen guys in the pilot program. And just tremendous. I mean, these guys are doing a tremendous job. But the battle's on. Amen? Do y'all not believe that? Go to Ephesians chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, and then we're going back to the book of Ephesians. I just want to encourage you. I'm just asking you to pray. I mean, folks, on top of that, and Pastor and I were talking about it before service, on top of all that, you know, we have all these missionaries. We have 40 missionaries, 40-some missionaries we work with, and we got guys that can't get back in the country, guys that are finishing deputation, trying to get to the field, can't get to the field. One of the missionaries in Portugal went to the doctor for a regular checkup the other day. He gets home, and when he's at the doctor said, "Did you take the COVID vaccination?" He said, "No." He said, "Okay." So he gets home from his doctor's visit, and an hour and a half later gets an email from the public health department in his city. He said, "You are scheduled to take your vaccination on Tuesday at this time." That's the things they're facing around this world. You know, we thought we had it tough when things locked down around here. Missionaries that we know and work with, you were shut in your house except for 2 hours a week. And then you were allowed out of your house according to your license plate number for 2 hours to pay your bills and get your groceries. And that was it. When one missionary family we work with, their children, they have three teenagers, were not out of their house in 144 days. You know, the only reason they got out of the house then is they got out of the country, came home. And so the world has got different ideas, but I just want to challenge you today. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 3. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Do we realize, folks, do we understand what is going on in the world today? And I imagine Pastor Leakley has talked to you about this. I am convinced this is not a simple medical emergency, okay? This is a direct attack upon the cause of Christ. And if we don't get a hold of the fact that we're in a battle, I've been in some churches and they just look at you funny. I mean, they're more concerned about the collar of the pews or the hymn books or the carpet than they are the fact that what we're facing. I mean, when this pandemic, quote unquote, broke out, why is it the first thing that was restricted is the churches can't meet and churches can't do this? And the two things churches have to do to exist and grow is you have to be able to assemble together. Amen? If we can't assemble, we're in trouble. And I got news for you. I appreciate live streaming. I appreciate all this Facebook stuff. But I can't shake your hand, look you in the eye, and feel your heart and your spirit across an internet. Amen? We've the last 2 years we've had to do our training classes virtual. We usually do them in person. There's nothing like sitting across the table from a missionary and listen to the stories and feel his heart and feel his spirit. And you just can't do that through the internet. I'm sorry, amen. I appreciate what it allows us to do. But folks, listen, the first attack was on us assembly. The second attack is you can't get within 6 feet of somebody. You can't knock on somebody's doors. How are you going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ if you can't get in their home? Amen? And so we need to understand that we're in a battle. And I don't think some days we realize that as Christians. We may realize it, but we don't operate. We do not function as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to spend a little time here today. And I just want to encourage you and try to challenge you. I'm not into a lot of these conspiracy theories, amen? I mean, I'm not into that, okay? I just know this, we're in a battle for the gospel's sake. You know? It's amazing to me, you know, that, you know, who was talking about it last night? Oh, Brother Brian Hollis, I had dinner with him last night, and when he was in Bolivia, he said it was the craziest thing. You can't meet together as a church. But when he said, I'll give out food, I'll go purchase food and give it to people in need, he said they would line up 50 people shoulder to shoulder. And they would stand there shoulder to shoulder. And he said, now I'm not going to give them food until I can preach the gospel to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. And they said, well, do whatever you want. So they weren't allowed to come to the church building and assemble, but they could stand out there on the street corner shoulder to shoulder, 50 of them together, while he preached the gospel to them, told them about Jesus Christ, and then gave them a bag full of food. Now, do we not understand what kind of a battle we're in today? Amen. Now, you get to Ephesians chapter number 6, and notice in verse number 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He begins to describe to us the battle. You notice how he approaches this passage of Scripture. He says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren. In verse number 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those terms are not individual terms. Those are collective terms. Amen? And when he's writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians, he's addressing that church as a body, as a group, as a functioning church. And he said, finally, brethren, understand something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So he's challenging the church to understand. Every time I read this and every time I think about this thought, my mind goes back and 1981, we're getting ready to graduate from Bible college, and they're having the dedication service for the auditorium, and Lester Roloff's going to be there to preach. And Lester Roloff walked in that morning, and I'm putting carpet on the platform there, and Lester Roloff walked in and we got introduced to him, and I'll never forget that morning, he got up and sang that song. He said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And I believe we have been thrust into a battle like we've never seen before in our lifetime. I'm not saying it's never been before. I think the similar battle raged through the Dark Ages against Christianity, against people that were Bible believers. Amen? But we're now facing it. So what are we doing? And he describes this battle. Notice this, and I'm just trying to set your mind to think about it. You notice how he said this. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. If you study that word principality, he's talking about an area of authority or domain. I don't know how what it's called here, but in West Virginia, Byersville as a city would be called a principality. It has a city domain. It has a limit. There's a certain area of property that is the principality, the domain of that city. And Paul here's challenge of the church. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against people, a domain, a rule of authority. And when I think about that, he says earlier here, look in Ephesians chapter number 2. He says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, he talks about this and when we got saved, and he said in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, we walked according to the course of this world. There's a domain, there's a principality the devil has, and it's this world and the wickedness of this world. And when before we got saved, we walked in that domain. Amen. We walked in that place. But we no longer walk there because we're saved. Amen. But we got to understand, he says in John chapter 12, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus, you know, referred to the devil as the prince of the power of the air. And if he's going to be the prince of the power of the air, he has to have something to rule over. He has to have a domain. And that principality, that domain is what the battle is with. Amen? It's not really against flesh and blood. It's against a wickedness, a teaching, a lifestyle. Amen? Hey, listen, you ever think we would be at this point in our life in America that if you file an application to go to the University of California, there are 11 boxes you can check to identify your gender identity. We're wrestling against the domain of the devil. Sometimes we forget. I mean, churches are split because of personalities of people. That's not the battle. Amen? The battle's out there against the principalities that rule this world. And I'm not talking about the mayor of this city. I'm talking about the prince of the power of the air that rules the domain of the wickedness and the ungodliness of this world. Amen. And so the devil has his principality, but thank the Lord, Jesus has his. Amen. And I love this verse. He said, and I say unto thee also, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has his principality, his rule, his reign. Amen. And I know I still like that verse, greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. Amen. And we know who wins. Amen. But let's remember where the battle is. Okay? Listen, folks. People say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. But understand what the battle is. You know, Satan in heaven thought he would rise above God, and God said, no, you won't. And that battle has been raging, amen, against the forces of evil and the forces of God, against the principality of the devil and the principality of Jesus Christ, and that battle has been raging. We got quiet, didn't it? I am convinced that that battle rages more than ever for the lives and hearts of these young people right there. Amen? I'm too old to change. Go ahead and say amen. I'm not going to change. Amen? But they're being so influenced by Facebook and by all the social media and everything that's going on in the world today. Why do you think that stuff's so prevalent? Because of the battle that rages between the dominion of the devil and the dominion of God. Now, go a little farther. Notice what he said back there in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against principalities, but against powers. Do we understand that there is a power out there? We talk about Ephesians chapter 2, Acts chapter 26. He says that to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and they that receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. We better realize more than any time in our lives today, we're in a battle against a foe that is very, very powerful. Amen? I mean, you think about the power of Satan to hold an individual under his influence and under the whole burden of that sin and destruction in their lives. He has great power. But like I said a minute ago, thank the Lord, God has greater power than that. Amen? But I don't think we just sometimes conceive in our mind the power of the devil and the battle that we rage. And can I just be honest with you, folks? I didn't sleep much last night. Because I know when you start talking about this, and we'll be talking about this with our chaplains for almost 2 hours on Tuesday, the spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. Amen. And when you start talking about that, I got news for you. You're rousing an enemy that doesn't like that. You know what you're getting into. Amen. I've talked to some of these soldiers and these military people we work with, and they said, you know, we talk about the battle until you get on a transport flight and you're taken to Afghanistan or you're taken to Iraq and you're dropped off on the middle of a battlefield and all of a sudden the bombs are exploding and the guns are firing and all of a sudden you realize you're in a real live battle. Hello? Sometimes I think we hide in the safety of our churches, in the confines of our homes, and we realize that this is nice and peaceful, but it's not nice and peaceful. There is a battle that rages. I saw headlines of a news article today. Where was it? I don't know, somewhere in the United States, that a lady is questioning the educational system of her area about what her kindergarten child was being taught, and now the teacher is suing the parent that she has no right to know what her child's being taught in kindergarten. Huh? Well, you better know what they're being taught if they're going to a public school. They're being taught critical race theory. They're being taught evolution. They're being taught all this other kind of stuff. Amen? But now, isn't it amazing? Now the educational department is suing a parent that you don't have the right to know what your children's being taught. The first thing I'd do if I was that lady, I'd pull my kid out of that school. Amen? They'd be at my house and I'd be teaching them. But see the battle that rages, and the powers that be are there, and we're raging against the powers of the devil. But I still love that verse Jesus said in Matthew 28, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. So we go back that yes, there is a power out there, and there is somebody out there that is powerful, but he's not all powerful, and it's a battle that rages, but we have a power in us that is greater than it is in him, amen. But we better understand the battle we're in. I gotta hurry on, I'm gonna be in trouble, amen. So you have a principality, you have a power. You have the rulers of that power, of authority. You know, the Bible talks about that. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Then he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Sometimes that battle that we rage and that power that comes at us, the ruler of that authority, the ruler of that domain, is not just open about who he is and what he is. Amen. He comes in the disguise. One of the things that got issued to one of our chaplains was this new directive for the spiritual fitness program of his unit. And when you flip it open, it has this wheel on it, and this wheel has all these spokes out of this wheel, and it's going to describe the spiritual fitness of that person. And if you take that and you take that same spiritual wheel that the Hindus use to promote their thinking and lay them side by side, they're identical. So why would somebody that's quote-unquote supposed to know God and have a relationship with God use a Hindu symbols to promote spiritual awareness? See how subtle the tack is of the wicked one? Huh? It comes even to this music we got. It's infiltrating our Bible-believing churches. Amen? Well, the words are really good. Well, who cares what the words say? Amen? Sometimes, amen? If the music itself is terrible, I don't care how good the words are. Amen? And then we got into this thing, well, we'll just change the music and make it right. How does that make everything right, folks? And the battle comes at us very subtly. very subtly. Isn't that what the devil did to Eve in the garden? He didn't just say, to defy God. He said, yea, hath God said. He put a doubt in her mind. I just preached a couple weeks at camp, and I love young people. And here's the thing. The devil's not going to come at you and say, rebel against your parents. But he'll come at you and say, do you really believe what they said? They said, they didn't say that. They said this, this, and this. And they'll make you question God and God's authority in your life. Right there's the authority in your life. We're in a battle, folks. Charleston, West Virginia, Friday, passed a city ordinance that said this. If you counsel a young person as a counselor of any kind, and you counsel that young person that lesbianism and homosexuality is dangerous to their life, you will be fined $1,000, and $1,000 a day after that, that you don't pay the fine. Now you tell me where the battle's at. Isn't that crazy? In West Virginia, I mean, you say, well, there's a bunch of hillbillies down there. There's a bunch of crazy hillbillies down there right now, amen? And people were there and very calmly, but yet very sternly protested against us. And the mayor of Charleston, West Virginia, just rejected any thought of changing that. That was going to happen. So we have a ruler. The devil rules his domain, but thank the Lord Jesus Christ rules his. Amen? Now look at this last phrase, and I got about 5 minutes to do it. He says there in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There is a domain against powers. They have that power against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Look at notice what he said. In high places. Do we realize what we're facing? The wickedness in America used to be, it wasn't public for years. It wasn't public. I believe spiritual wickedness has dwelled in this country in high places for a long time. Amen. But all of a sudden now, it doesn't matter. There is no, seemingly no restraint. The spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we went from one end to the other, haven't we? From a president that supposedly read his Bible and had a relationship with the Lord to one that says, doesn't matter. We're going to put God out of everything there is. What happened? The battle raged. And the battle still rages. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm just trying to be a realist, I guess. Is that the right word? I just want to be real. We're facing a battle, folks. And it's not time to back up. And I don't have time. At camp, I talked to the young people a little. I didn't go into all this, but I talked to them about this thing. In the military, I've learned one thing about these guys. They have what they call a military readiness, and they call it a battlefield rhythm. That when you're back here training and you're back here, you're preparing to go to battle, you have a certain regiment that you go through in your life. But as you prepare to go to the actual battlefield, that regiment changes and it becomes more rigid, it becomes more involved. And so they tell them, they said, you're developing a battlefield rhythm that you're going to, every day you're going to get up, you're going to do this, 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 you're going to be ready at this point, you're going to be ready at that point, you're ready to leave, you have a backpack that's packed and ready to go. Your weapon is always clean and ready to be operated. You have this battlefield rhythm. So that in that moment, that 1 second, they can rise and be at the battle. Now, I wonder sometimes if we don't realize that spiritually we're in a battle, and we need to have a battlefield rhythm in our life. Take it for what it's worth. I read an article this morning, a man that I've read several books after. He's not a preacher, but a guy named Bobby Bowden, who was the head football coach at Florida State University, was at Western University. He passed away this morning. 91 years old. Here's what the Tallahassee newspaper said about Bobby Bowden. He got up every morning at 4 o'clock, read his Bible, read a book, read the newspaper, and drank his coffee. Every morning at 4 o'clock, he had a battlefield rhythm. I wonder what the newspaper would say about you. We're in a battle, folks, and we need to develop a rhythm in our lives that we get up in our lives and we read our Bibles, we pray, we're prepared, our weapon is clean and ready to go. We carry in the back of our vehicle, we call it our bug out bag. And it has certain things in there, survival gear and stuff like that, and some different things, that water filter and all this stuff. And we carry it in our vehicles. So why do you do that? So if we get stranded somewhere, you know, we can survive. I can walk back there, pick that bag up. It's got ammunition for the weapon that I carry in it. It's got one of those solar blankets you can get under. It's got all this kind of stuff in there. We carry it. He said, why? Because I want to be prepared. In that instant, if I have to survive, I can. I wonder if the battle came specifically to your house. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are we in a battlefield rhythm? One thing I learned about the soldiers when they said that you're in that battlefield rhythm, you let nothing change that rhythm, or you could die because of it. I wonder if we got a lot of spiritually dead Christians, preacher, because their favorite TV show changed their battlefield rhythm. Several years ago, our granddaughter came home from camp, and we were having grand camp, we call it. And so she said, we got ready for bed that night, and I said, okay, we're going to pray, and everybody's getting ready to go to bed. And so we got done, and she said, Poppy. I said, what? She said, I need 10 minutes. I said, what you need 10 minutes for? She said, I promised God I'd read my Bible 10 minutes every day. I said, you got 10 minutes. I asked her the other day, she's 18 now. I said, so how you doing? She goes, it's more than 10 minutes now, Poppy. She's developed that battlefield rhythm. Have you? I said all that to get to that one little thought right there. We need to be prepared. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We love you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.